table. Yeah, thank you. How are you all doing this morning? You good? You awake? Maybe. Well, I guess I want to start out by saying, first of all, it is an honor to be here with all of you. The last time we were supposed to be here with you guys was during COVID, and we actually got COVID, so we couldn't come and be with you guys. So we're incredibly honored to be here with you this morning, and we just want to say thank you to Pastor Darth and Pastor Dan for having us and welcoming us to come here. Pastor Dan and Nancy, thank you for hosting us in your beautiful home. We had an incredible meal last night that Nancy provided. It was delicious, and they just took really good care of us. You guys have heard a little bit about our story of how God has sent us out, how we are the missionaries going across the world to share God's message of salvation. But today I want to share with you about your part in that as well, and in what God has for you and your responsibility with the Great Commission. And if you are a note taker, or maybe you have your program and it's got notes on there, you'll see that the title is Regularly and Well. I'll be honest, I'm not very good at coming up with titles. My husband came up with this one, and so I just want to say thank you, Eric. But really, the title today is Regularly and Well, and we're going to unpack that a little bit. But when you think about things that should happen regularly and well, there are two examples that we want to share with you, and the first is your car. When you get into your car and you go to start it, you expect it to start regularly, right? And you expect it to start well, right? It's not good if it just starts, because you want to be safe in your car too. We've got two little kids. I want to be safe in my car. I want them to be safe, so I expect it to drive well. What about eating? How many of you like to eat? I like to eat. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to eat regularly because I get hungry. And if I get hungry, I get hangry. And so I need to eat. But it's not just about eating regularly. If we want to be healthy, we've got to eat well. And so today, as we're talking about regularly and well, we're gonna talk about two things in the Great Commission that God calls us and expects us to do regularly and well. And we're going to start in Matthew 28, which has the Great Commission right at the end. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples right before he ascends into heaven. And he says, starting in verse 19, got to find it in my Bible. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be assured of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus gave this command to his disciples, and if you are a follower of Jesus, you are his disciple. This is a command for all believers for all time, and he doesn't give any exemptions. It's for all of his disciples. And it can't only be left to the pastors, the teachers, the apostles and prophets and missionaries to fulfill this Great Commission. It requires all of God's disciples to be on mission with him as well. And I want to encourage you, your age, your gender, your socioeconomic status, your past, nothing disqualifies you. Whether you say it about yourself or someone says it about you, nothing disqualifies you or exempts you from this commission. Jesus gave it to his disciples. And so I want to encourage you, if you're a disciple, God expects you to be on mission with him. But discipleship can't come until someone believes in Jesus' message of salvation. And that takes us to our second scripture where we're going to spend some of our time today in Romans 10. We're going to start in verse 9. And it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, we're talking about how we all carry responsibility in the Great Commission to share our faith and to make disciples. Before we get to unpacking the meat of the message, I just want to take a moment to pray and ask God to open our hearts and to speak to us today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that my family has to come and be a part of this incredible church community. Thank you for their hearts and their willingness to be on mission with you through supporting missionaries around the world. And God, I pray today this word that you've laid on my heart would not be my words, but it would be your words to each person. We open up our hearts to receive from you. Would you speak to us each individually and uniquely in only the way that you can, God? Would you encourage us? Would you teach us? Would you call us to what you want us to do? And may we not just be people who hear you speak, but may we be responsive and obedient in how you are leading us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know some of you raised your hand about knowing someone who doesn't know the Lord, and I'm assuming that means you do know the Lord. And how many of you remember that moment of salvation when Christ and what he has done for you became so real? And I was 13 years old when I experienced that at a camp. And so if you have a child who needs to go to camp, here's my plug. get them to camp. But I remember it was such a transformational moment in my life. Literally, it was a winter camp, so it was over the weekend. I went to camp on a Friday, and I came back Monday a completely different person. I remember sitting in my living room at my home just feeling like I was in a foreign land almost. This is my home, but Christ had so transformed my life that I did not feel the same. And I remember being so on fire of everybody needs to experience this because it just transforms everything, the way you see the world, the way you interact with the world. But as I began, that fire was, it lasted a while, but then it kind of dimmed down, and I became a little timid in sharing my faith, partly because I didn't know how to, but also I was a little scared. So then it turned into, well, I'll just pray. I'll pray that God makes a way for the people I know who don't know Jesus to know him. And I don't know if some of you have also maybe experienced that in your life. And I want to encourage you, nothing's wrong. I think that's maybe just a natural part of growing in our relationship with the Lord. But God does not want us to stop with prayer. He expects us to also be sharing our faith as believers. And I want to encourage you that in the Great Commission, there are three parts of responsibility, and there are different people who hold that responsibility. You'll see this, I think, on your notes too. The first is God's part. He has responsibility that he has fulfilled, which is he is sending us, and he's the one bringing the revelation. He's bringing the truth. The second part is us as believers. We are the middle. We carry a responsibility of going and telling people about Christ. The third part is their responsibility. The ones who are hearing, they have a responsibility to respond. And we can't control how people are going to respond, but we are called to follow through on the responsibility God has given us to share our faith. And it's sometimes we can sit there and go, oh, God's got this. But I want to encourage you that we can't just sit on the sidelines and expect other people to do it or expect that God's just going to make it happen. He can, but he's called us to be partners with him and to go and tell others. Satan knows that he cannot stop God from his part. He knows he can't stop God. However, He knows he can stop us. If he can get us distracted, if he can make us timid, if he can stop us the middle, he doesn't even have to worry about the third part, because the third part's never going to have a chance to respond if they don't hear the message of salvation. And so let's be found faithful in sharing our faith and being on mission with God. And you might be sitting there going, this is all great to hear, but how do I share my faith? Well, I got some steps for you. And they're really simple ways that you can share your faith, which is the first step in making disciples. They've got to hear it. And so if we read verses 14 through 15 in Romans 10, it gives us kind of a blueprint of what that looks like. And it says, how can they call on him, calling on Jesus, to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. This is a blueprint for sharing your faith and for someone coming to salvation. It is us being sent so that we can tell others, so that they can hear and believe and call on Jesus. And the feet, it says it right here. It says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers of those who bring good news. And really, the feet in the scripture, it's an action word. It's talking about activity and motion and progress in the work of sharing the gospel. We are called to be active on mission with God and sharing that. And so the three ways that we can maybe focus on sharing our faith is, the first is live differently, through living differently. If you follow Jesus, you're going to walk in this lifelong journey called sanctification, where you're becoming more like him. And if you're becoming more like Christ, your life should start to look different. It should look more like Jesus, and it looks different than the world around us. If we want our invitation to follow Jesus to mean anything, we've got, our lives should show that there is something different about us. And so don't be shy or embarrassed that your life may look different than the people around you. It should look different, because that's going to be part of the credibility to what you have to share about Christ and what he can do in their lives. And the second way that you can share your faith is naturally. It should be natural. It doesn't have to be this grand thing that you do. But if Jesus is a part of your daily life, he should naturally flow from your daily life as well and in your conversations. I just want to share a quick story about this, even in my own life. Outside of ministry, I've worked secular jobs, and a lot of it's been spent as a barista. I like coffee, and I've had two opportunities to work at Starbucks in my life. And the first time I was working there, it was in the midst of I was serving a lot in my church, heavily involved. It was my life, basically. And I would come in to work after the weekend, and everybody, the coworkers, would all be asking each other, what'd you do this weekend? What'd you do this weekend? And I mean, I'm a little shy. I'm a little timid to share. I was at church and working with the youth, and because nobody else was doing that. But I just was honest. I shared with them what I was doing. And so the more we would talk, the more they would hear about, it wasn't just going, this is my life. Christ is a part of my life. And one day, after a couple of months, I was working the closing shift with one other woman, and we're talking about life, and I'm sharing just some of the difficult things my family is walking through at that time. And she turns to me and very pointedly says, Kayla, how can you still love Jesus when your life is so messed up? And that's not the language she used. She used some more colorful language that's not appropriate for church. And it kind of caught me off guard, because it was this moment of, okay, do I share this? How deep are we going with this? And I'm at work. Technically, you can get in trouble sometimes for sharing your faith at work. But she asked So I'm going to tell her. And it began this two-hour-long conversation while we're closing the store of just sharing why I can still love Jesus, why it still makes a difference, even if my life is not perfect. And, I mean, we went really deep because she kept asking questions. We went all the way back to the Old Testament. We're talking about covenants, and it was crazy. But praise the Lord, you know. But that came out of living differently and sharing Jesus naturally in my conversations. I let him be natural in my life. And then the last part is intentionally. Share your faith intentionally. Just like that moment where she asked me that question, I could have just, you know, given a foo-foo answer and blown it off. But I recognized the moment for what it was, and I was intentional in what I had to say to her and to allow the conversation to go where the Holy Spirit would lead. We have to have our eyes open to see the opportunities that God is bringing our way and be intentional to take advantage of those moments and share our faith with others. And I want to encourage you, don't try to do this on your own. Let the Holy Spirit come in and be a part of your life daily to speak to you and to guide you. Pray specifically for those who don't know God. Pray for them by name every day. And every day, pray for the opportunities that God would give you, that you wouldn't just see them, but that you would be responsive and obedient to walk into those opportunities and to be vulnerable, to give someone an opportunity to hear about Jesus. But sharing your faith is not the end of the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, it says, make disciples, not just make believers, make disciples. And so, following Jesus, if you are his disciple, it means you should be making disciples, and he commands us to do this. And sometimes this could seem a little strange of, how do I make a disciple? How do I know someone's become a disciple? And really, it's, are they following Jesus? And so I just want to share a few brief ways that you can be intentional about how to make disciples in your own life. And the first one is, discipleship is an invitation to let others in. If you want to disciple someone, you have to be willing to invite them to come into your life as well. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul tells them, follow me as I follow Christ. Inviting others to come alongside you, just as Jesus did, showing, modeling, demonstrating for them what it looks like to follow Jesus. And this invitation isn't for them to follow you, it's to come alongside you and learn how to follow Jesus. You're always pointing them back to Jesus as you're discipling somebody. And yes, you can still help disciple and lead people even if you make mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes in leading people, I'll be honest. Praise God that he can work through mistakes as well. But part of leading someone in discipleship, even if you make a mistake, is modeling for them what you do with that mistake. Do you model repentance? Do you model reconciliation? It's a vulnerable thing to let people in, but a lot of people, I think especially the younger generations, they're wanting that vulnerability. They're wanting to see the real, authentic you so that they can see that they can be real and authentic with Jesus as well. So don't be afraid to invite and let others in. Discipleship is also a commitment to be present. It's easy to walk with others when life is easy or relatively calm, when they're hungry for the Lord, when conversations are easy. It's being there celebrating the milestones and the joyous moments, being present with them in those moments. But life is not always rainbows and butterflies. Life is messy. It is hard. There are some ugly moments, but are you willing to walk with people through the seasons where they might need you the most to help keep focusing them on Jesus through those hard seasons? When they're questioning God's goodness and his presence, when you don't know what to do, are you willing to still be present with them? In Ethiopia, Eric and I had a few opportunities to do this, and these really were the God, I don't know what to do kind of moments. And the first was with one of our friends. I had the opportunity of baptizing her in 2019 at the beginning of her faith journey. And then she became a dear friend of ours. And in 2022, she went through a crisis moment, a mental health crisis moment in her life. And I mean, she went through all the steps, you guys, to take her own life. She'd said goodbye to everyone. She left everything behind. And it turned into a night of Eric and some other team members literally out there in a city of 8 million people searching for her. And for me and others being back home, just praying, interceding, God, bring her home. And he did. He brought her home. She is safe. She is serving the Lord and healthy today. But that was a season of walking with her through some very dark moments in her life where we were like, Jesus, we don't know what to say in this moment. We don't know what to do in this moment. But we committed to being present with her. And a few weeks later, another crisis in our church where a dear family in our church, their 5-year-old son tragically drowned in an accident. Whew, that was heavy. We're young leaders. We had no idea. What do you do? What do you do in that moment? And this family was just shattered and broken. They loved Jesus. They'd been following Jesus for many years. And what do you say to someone when they lose their son like that? And we sat with them. In Ethiopia, we have what's called like a wake here when you go to a family's home. They have what's called a luxo, and it goes for days. It goes for weeks sometimes where you just go and you sit with the family. You weep with them. You eat with them. You let the wounds reopen again so that you can grieve with them in that process. And the last example was a friend of ours she was also a missionary with a different organization. In the last 8 months we were in Ethiopia, she dealt with a lot of health issues where she was ending up in the hospital constantly, anaphylactic shock. She was having lots of health issues, and it turned into literally our last week there, she was in the hospital having seizures, and they didn't know why. They didn't know what was happening. And through this journey, she loves Jesus. She's on the mission field serving Jesus, and she's asking why. She's questioning God's goodness. She's questioning everything she's felt like she's known about the Lord. And we didn't have the answers. We sat with her. We prayed with her. We spoke truth over her. We went to the hospital with her. Literally 2 days before we're flying out, we're in the hospital with her. And thank God she experienced a complete miraculous healing. Literally the day we're flying back to the States, she experienced healing. But these were hard, messy moments. And it is hard to walk with people in those moments. It's hard because a lot of the times we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know the right answers. A lot of the times it's inconvenient, it's unknown, and it's God, only you. But are you willing to still be present with someone in that discipleship journey? Because honestly, in these moments, when you help keep their eyes on Jesus, these are the moments where they can grow exponentially in their relationship with Christ. And you're probably going to grow too as you walk with them through that. And if you're not currently discipling someone, pray about it. Take some time and ask Jesus, who is it that you would have me disciple? It's fun that you guys are starting Alpha, and I love the way Pastor Dan did this, where he had you raise your hand, and he's like, all right, invite someone to come with you now. That could be a great first step of discipleship, of choosing to walk with somebody through it. Maybe you didn't have plans to spend 4 weeks coming and listening to Alpha videos. Well, maybe now you do. Maybe Jesus is calling you to that, to walk with someone through that, to be inconvenienced a little bit. And I also want to encourage you to jump in and serve here at your church. Find the ministries that need help. Is it kids? Is it youth? Is it young adults? Is it a men's or a women's Bible study? Is there a ministry that could use your help where you could come alongside and help disciple people? You don't need to have it all together in order to start discipling someone. Do you love Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Then let him lead you as you invite someone to come alongside you as you disciple them. And if you are a parent, I know how it can be such a blessing to have godly men and women come alongside your children and be a part of your village and helping point them to Jesus. And so you might be afraid to serve with kids and youth. Don't be afraid. They're so much fun. They're a lot of fun. Eric and I served with youth for many years. They're a lot of fun. They're tiring, but they're a lot of fun. Be a part of inspiring and developing lifelong relationship with Jesus right here in your community. Be a part of that. As we take a moment to respond and reflect today, I know it was a short sermon, but I want to give you a chance to just respond to maybe what God is speaking to your heart. I want to ask you to go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes, and just take a moment with the Lord as I share this. As a church community, your role in the Great Commission is helping to send others, like my family and I, across the world to share the gospel. But your additional role, an equal role, is to share the gospel and to make disciples in your own lives. We all carry the responsibility of being the middle so that others can hear, respond, and grow in their own personal relationship with Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus here today, I want to encourage you to start praying for these three things daily. Pray for lost people. Lost people matter to God's heart, so they should matter to ours. Pray for them generally, like the unreached people group that Eric and I are going to go reach and minister to in Ivory Coast, but pray specifically too for those that you raised your hand for earlier here in Wenatchee. Pray for opportunities and time frames and outcomes of when they would hear about Jesus, how long it will take for them to respond, and what that outcome will be. Pray specifically for those things. Pray about who you need to disciple. If you are a parent, one of your primary focuses is your children and discipling them. Before anyone else, disciple your children. Ask God for one or two people he would have you pour into, and then join a ministry here at the church so that you can also be used by the Lord. And lastly, pray for boldness and power so that you will be ready and willing to obey God as his Holy Spirit leads you in your daily life. Maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. I don't want to miss this opportunity, as we've been talking about hearing the message of salvation. I don't want to miss giving you the opportunity to respond. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, in this private moment, if you are sensing in your heart that this is your moment to respond to salvation, to respond to relationship with Jesus, to declare what he did for you upon the cross, dying for your sins, restoring your relationship with God, if that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand as a bold declaration, and so I know who we're praying for. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand today. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for salvation. That is the greatest thing we get to do as believers, is to see people respond to salvation, because people are the only thing that go into eternity with us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word that brings truth, that encourages us, that corrects us. God, we thank you for how you have been speaking to us today. We thank you for this person who has responded to salvation today. Thank you for that gift, God. May that fire that we had, that hunger that we had at the first time we experienced salvation, to share with others, if it's died out, if it's just coals now, would you reignite that fire in your people, God? Would we have a hunger and an urgency to share the truth of Jesus with the people around us and with our community? May we not be found idle in this great commission that you have given us, Lord. May we be active. May we be on mission, May we be found saying yes to how you are leading us. And as you lead us to disciple others, Lord, we humbly do that. We lean into you. We seek you to help us through those moments of discipleship. Lord, I thank you for the things we are going to see that come out of this incredible church community. For what you are going to do in this city and beyond. I pray that you would bless Wenatchee first. Would you bless their leaders? Would you bless this community so that they may be a blessing to the community you have them in? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you responded today, I want to encourage you to find Pastor Dan or Pastor Darth after this service, because they want to help you start this journey with following Jesus, and they have some materials to give to you. But before we close the service today, I want to invite Eric up as he leads us in communion.
We're going to go to the Lord's table in communion today. If you did not get a communion packet on your way in, I'm sure someone would be happy to help you with that. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Starting in verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the blood, of the bread and drinks of the cup." I want to encourage us as we get ready to partake to examine ourselves. And self-examination, as we do in this moment, should be done in tandem with the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to also examine our hearts. We're not just examining ourselves, we're allowing the Lord to examine us as well. And I believe as we do that, that self-examination with the Holy Spirit leads to self-awareness. And self-awareness is a good thing of itself, but I want to encourage us not to just stop there with being self-aware, but that self-awareness should lead us to response. And that can look a lot of different ways. The worship team is going to conclude in a moment with a song of response, but maybe that means confessing your sins to one another. Maybe it's just a moment between you and the Lord of repentance. Maybe it's listening and allowing the Spirit to lead and guide what is next. But I want to encourage us, this is not a passive act. It is an action to receive this today. So I want to encourage each of us to respond. If you tear the bottom section, we'll take out the bread. I want to read again together verses 23 and 24. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your broken body, that you did not shy away from the suffering that was necessary for our redemption, that you allowed your body to be broken for each of us. Lord, we do remember that today as we look forward to your coming. We thank you for your broken body, that we are made right because your body was broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's receive his body together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray over the cup together. Jesus, thank you for your shed blood. Thank you that by your blood we are made clean. We are made right with you, where our sins have defiled us, have made us unclean and unworthy of living in your presence. Your blood has washed us and made us whole. Thank you, Jesus, for the shedding of your blood, that you made a way where there seemed to be no way, that you made us well, you made us whole again because of your blood. We worship you for that today. We remember your sacrifice, and we thank you for it. We exalt you. Let's receive the Lord's blood, the cup together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship him together.